Mr. Willie Tavia, Roman Labor Correspondent, and I'm here at the Auburn Hill West End Library where they just have a program about the brothers. And I have someone who was involved with the brothers in Albany during the time they was fighting for civil rights, and his name is
Purcell McDowell.
Purcell McDowell, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Okay. I'm doing good, Willie.
So just tell me a little bit about your involvement with the brothers.
My involvement was pretty much like you heard Leon and Earl. We all were fathers and young men trying to better ourselves. And if unfortunately, this city did not recognize that. So what we had to do was organize and try to get people into various trades and organize with jobs, housing, trash removal, and voting rights, and police brutality. That's what we're about. And this was a very difficult city to do that in because the city had a machine that denied you a lot of the rights that I just mentioned. And this is why we started organizing. This is what brought us all together as fathers and as brothers and as men of the communities that we lived in.
So how did y'all hook up? You know, cause, I mean, y'all was in different communities? Y'all was living in the same community?
No, we were all living in the same community. And Earl Thorpe, when Earl started the movement, we all kind of gathered around because we were all for the same cause. We were all fathers and stuff. We all wanted jobs. That was the real kicker, I think, right there, was jobs.
Now, you know, the civil rights movement was kind of, almost near the end, per se, was coming out in the 60s when y'all got started, right? How did that impact on y'all?
Well, it didn't impact on us very, very much because of the fact that we had a purpose, and our purpose was to clean the city up with the voting rights. They were paying $5 for people to vote. Clean the city up with the street, the trash removal and stuff. We've taken trash and dumped it on the city hall steps. We've taken cockroaches down there that was in these people's houses and let them know that this is the way our people were living and we weren't going to tolerate it. So that's another reason why we kept organizing. And everybody, you start drawing people whenever you start doing positive things, and that's what we were doing in our community, very positive things. We had other brothers. Hey, man, we don't have a job either, you know what I mean? Well, can you help me? Hey, my house is falling down. Our landlord won't fix the house. So we all had common causes. And in the 60s, the civil rights movement had started, but it was not directed to this city and to our purpose while we were living in this city.
So let me ask you something, because I know you talk about, you know, things that y'all did, and things start from the past, and nothing
Absolutely.
Something. So how would you assess today's situation?
Well, today I think that it's more modern. We have a lot of people that's in the movement now that are very well educated, and they see things a lot differently. And now some of the laws that are passed from the past are now beginning to work. And they're working because of the fact that we have people that are involved and people that are very well learned, more learned than we were. You know, we didn't even have college education and stuff and no education, some of us. But now we have a different type of civil rights person. And that person is standing tall. And they are demanding, they're not asking like we asked, they are demanding that things are to change.
So what advice would you have for young people today?
The advice I would have for young people is not forget your past. Not forget whose shoulders that you're standing on. Someone came through here before you. That is my advice, and continue to look for your educational opportunities and trades. Trades are very important. You know what I mean? We have forgotten about those, you know? Learn to help yourself. And let's stop killing one another. That is my first advice.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you. And what's your name?
Brian Keough. I'm at the University at Albany Library.
Oh, you at the University of Albany Library. You're Brian?
Yes.
So, Brian, tell me some how you got started in this particular project.
I guess my first interest in the organization was I was doing research on the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964, which created many different opportunities for jobs, other kinds of things. And I came across this group, the Brothers, that was involved with another group called SENCAP, the South End Neighborhood Action or Community Action Program. And I realized the first thing that sort of struck me was that they formed in the spring of 66. And I had known that was, you know, the Black Panthers really didn't get started until much later in that year. So it just piqued my interest. And I also discovered, as an archivist at the University of Albany Libraries, that we had the Brothers newspaper that they published over a few years. It was called The Liberator. And it did a lot of great coverage of trash pickup issues, rent strikes, tenant relations with landlords. There were a lot of absentee landlords that owned property in Arbor Hill in the South End, you know, who charged high rents and didn't upkeep or renovate any of the buildings. So, you know, they were paying high rents to live in really dilapidated conditions. So, you know, I was interested in housing. I'm kind of interested in public housing. So that sort of got me interested in the Brothers and also their fight to get into labor unions was another, you know, I have an interest in labor history. So learning how they were shut out of a lot of the labor unions when you have the Empire State Plaza being constructed, SUNY Albany's Uptown Campus being constructed, really two of the biggest capital construction projects in the country at that time. And, you know, they couldn't get a job even in unskilled unions like the laborers union, let alone getting an apprenticeship in a carpenter's union or electrical union. So, you know, that really interested me too, because it's frustrating when people don't have employment opportunities, right? Because that's what everyone wants. You know, they want to work a hard day, they want to come home, live in a nice house, you know, have a nice place for their family to go to the playground or play outside. I mean, that's quote unquote American dream, right? So to be denied this opportunity just kept me interested in the topic. You know, now I'm really interested in housing, you know, and how private agencies and local governments really defined the urban landscape of the post-war era, right? And cities, states, and federal governments basically reinforced racial segregation, but also economic segregation, right? You see, it's not a coincidence that our neighborhoods have a large, predominantly certain neighborhoods of predominantly low-income population. That's not a coincidence. That is purposeful. That's public policy at the local, state, and federal level. It was going on for decades since, you know, public housing laws came out in the 30s and 40s. So that's something that really interests me, how, like, this is not a coincidence, right? And it's Democrats and Republicans that enforce these city, state, and federal policies that created this systemic racism in the housing market that we have today. So yeah, that's kind of what we got into the Brothers.
So were you involved in the documentary?
I appear in it. I was not the producer and director. That was.
Now, have you seen that before you start this project? Have you seen the documentary before you start this project?
No, I had been doing research for 4 or 5 years prior to the documentary produced, and I guess that's why Paul contacted me Paul Miller produced the documentary.
Oh, okay.
He's the director and producer, so he interviewed me and included a couple of clips from that interview in the documentary. It's my starring role.
Now, this subject seemed to be a very interesting subject. You know, I mean, looking at the crowd that came out tonight.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, it's incredible. There were over 50 people here. You know, you hear, and you had these primary sources talking about stories, right? that fill in the gaps of the documents, you know, that we research, that we do historical research with, talking to people. And that's why I like doing post-war, late 20th century research, is not only do I get to look at primary documents, but I get to talk to the historical actors, and I get to learn about their agency in moving communities forward and fighting for things that they believe in. So that's really exciting. Every time I get to talk to Purcell or Leon or Earl, it's just a listening endeavor, because you don't want to talk, you just want to listen.
Right.
You know, but I don't know, we named Corning Tower, we should have a Van Dyke Tower, or, you know, Earl Thorpe Bridge or something like that. I mean, that's how you get history and memories into the community's collective institutional or collective memory, right? Is you name things, you put up statues, you name roads, you name bridges, you name libraries. You know, this could easily be the Leon Van Dyke Library, the Earl Thorpe Library.
I think you started something. You know, I don't think it's going to stop you. And I want to thank you for that.
Okay, great. All right.